Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Proverbs chapter 21, verse 12. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 12. Consider the house of the wicked, the Bible says. And we need to, because when we consider the house of the wicked, it causes us to take note and to learn. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 21, verse 12, the righteous man wisely considereth the house of the wicked, but God overthroweth the wicked for their wickedness. Now, we're going to look at several verses in Proverbs chapter 21 that are right around this verse and use this as an exposition, a verse that will show us something about what God said that we should learn by considering the house of the wicked. Now, according to this text, the way we learn from the wicked is by considering his house, because when we do that, it will teach us to not be like the wicked. You see, notice what verse 11 says, when the scorner is punished, the simple is made wise. And when the wise is instructed, he receiveth knowledge. So we're going to be wise today. We're going to be simple and we're going to be wise. Because we're going to see that the wicked is punished. We're going to be instructed and receive knowledge, and that's going to increase our wisdom. Now look at the first part of chapter 21. We find this. The righteous man wisely considereth the house of the wicked. All right? Then what do we learn by considering the house of the wicked? We learn these things. Number one, the wicked refuse to do judgment. Look at verse 7. The robbery of the wicked shall destroy them because they refuse to do judgment. Well, it's against the law to steal, right? And so if a man decides that he wants to steal, he's going to do it. And he's going to be destroyed because he's a thief. The robbery of the wicked shall destroy them. But what's the problem? The problem is they refuse to do judgment. If they would do judgment, then they would follow what the Bible says. And the Bible says that a man's to work with his own hands so that he can pay his own way. And then he'll have a little left over to be able to take care of somebody else also. So when a man refuses to do that, and he decides that he's going to take from somebody else, he's a thief. The Bible says, thou shalt not steal. That's the judgment. And so when a man does that, he destroys himself. The robbery of the wicked shall destroy them. That's the law. That's the judgment. You see? So the first thing that we see about the wicked is they refuse to do judgment. Listen. It's not that he doesn't know the right judgment. He does know. The trouble is that the judgment has no effect on him. Maybe he doesn't believe it. Maybe he is a scorner, like verse 11 says, where he scorns the judgment of God. Listen, you know, a lot of times somebody will tell somebody else, warn them about an impending danger. And then the person who has been warned now has to make a decision. Am I going to believe this person that has warned me and follow his warning, or am I going to reject his warning and go on and do what I want to do anyway? And oftentimes what happens is that the warning is not heeded and the man goes on and does what he wants to do anyway. You know what he's doing? He's refusing to do judgment from somebody that's smarter than he is. Recently, we had the opportunity to see some of that firsthand. I mean, where I was the one who was not following the warning. Several of us decided we would do a little kayak fishing trip. And we were trying to get ahead of a norther, because a lot of times fishing will pick up in front of a norther. Well, we were right about that. The guy that was already out there in the water that came in before we launched had caught a really nice stringer of fish. So we were out getting ready to go. And a guy came out of the marina there, and he says, "I wouldn't do that if I were you." And we all looked at him sort of in shock and dismay because we'd been spending all this time, you know, getting our kayaks rigged and ready to row. And he said, "No, I wouldn't do that if I were you." He said, "This old norther is on top of us right now, and within 30 minutes, this bay is going to start churning, and this water is going to rise, and you are going to be in danger." Well, he was only wrong on one count. It hit in about 5 minutes. And when it did, it hit with just as much ferocity as he said it would. And if we'd have been out there in that water, we had two inexperienced kayakers with us, they would have been in trouble. It was dangerous. But you know what? It was really funny because we looked at that guy like, "Why are you trying to mess up our fun? Why would you come out here and warn us not to get on this water after we've taken so much time to make these preparations, and we've got these guys that have never done this before? I mean, why spoil the fun?" He wasn't trying to spoil the fun. He was trying to make sure that we would be around safely for another day of fun. He was right, but we didn't want to listen. Refused to do judgment. So it wasn't that we didn't know the right judgment. It's just that we didn't believe the guy or didn't want to believe the guy. And so in this case, we have firsthand experience of the same thing that a wicked man does. The judgment has no effect on him. He won't listen. A prisoner went to prison for a small drug and theft charge. He wasn't going to have to stay there very long. But while he was there, he hooked up with some guys that taught him how to become a better thief and how to deal with the drugs more discreetly. So when he came out, he said, "I'm smarter now." And then he said, "This time, I'll know how to do it and keep from getting caught." You know what? The judgment had no effect on him. The judgment was, "You're a thief. You are a drug dealer," small time nonetheless, but you're a drug dealer. "You are going to spend time behind bars." And that guy did come out smarter. But then by the time he did get caught, it wasn't for a small drug and theft charge. It was for a big one. And then he went in there, and he spent a lot of time in there. Pharaoh is the real good example of a wicked man that refuses to do judgment. Moses and Aaron said, "If you don't let these people go, these are the plagues that are coming." Pharaoh refused to let the people go. Those plagues came, and then eventually Pharaoh was destroyed in his own refusal to do judgment in the Red Sea when the water collapsed in on top of him and his army and killed them all. Shimei, who had been cursing David when David went into exile away from Absalom, was spared because he came back and, you know, apologized. He probably wasn't sincere. I think David knew he wasn't sincere. He was mainly interested in saving his own neck, but David spared him nonetheless. And then he told Solomon, he said, "You make sure and get that guy. Now, you're wise enough to know how to do it." So Solomon told Shimei, I said, "Look, if you leave this town, you are going to be killed." And eventually some servants of Shimei ran off, and Shimei decided to follow them. And when he did, Solomon met him when he came back to town. He said, "I thought I told you not to leave town." He said, "You did. Okay, then. I told you when you left town, you'd die." And Shimei said, "That's right. Okay." He killed him. He killed him. You see, refusing to do judgment will destroy a man. And that's the problem with the wicked. So if we're going to be wise today, we're simple, okay? We're just simple little folks. But if we're going to be wise today, then what you and I have to do is we've got to receive knowledge, we have to be instructed, and we got to recognize that when the scorner is punished, we're to be made wiser. And what are we learning here? We're learning that when God gives us a judgment clearly stated in his words and clearly illustrated by the way that he handles people that do those very things, we are to be wise enough to not do that. We are to do the right thing. We are to make the right judgment. And the wicked won't do that. They refuse to do the right thing. The Pharisees were like that. Jesus Christ said to them, "You are of your father the devil. The lusts of your father you will do." And they would not heed judgment. In John chapter 3, in verse 19, we see what the problem is, at least in part. John chapter 3, in verse 19, we see a good element of what the trouble is. "This is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." Well, there's the problem. Well, the problem is they loved darkness rather than light, see? And the reason they loved darkness is because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Okay, so generally speaking, on a Saturday night, when a fellow goes out to get drunk and to party, he goes out at night and ends up in a dark, dimly lit bar. When light is shining brilliantly in the pulpit of a church near his home, that guy will not grace the door of the church to go in and hear the light of God's words and have the light of Jesus Christ revealed to him, because he loves to live in darkness. He is repelled by the light. Why? He refuses to do judgment. He knows that when he goes in there, the light of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is going to shine and reprove him and rebuke him for the way he lives. And he doesn't want to be reproved, and he doesn't want to be rebuked, because he loves the darkness and he loves the deeds that he does that are evil. Now, a righteous man is not like that. If you're getting wisdom from this, then, you know, you should recognize that it's better for you to be in the light with the Lord Jesus Christ and in the light of his words than it is to be in the dark den of the devil. So verse 21 of John chapter 3 goes on to say, "He that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest that they are wrought in God." It's kind of like this thing that we're doing here today. Today we're doing judgment. Today I'm presenting for you a text out of Proverbs chapter 21 that should help you draw closer to the Lord Jesus Christ, or find him as your Savior if you're not saved yet. It's light. It's light coming from the words of God. And if you're doing truth, you're attracted to this kind of light. And if you're not doing the truth, you're not attracted by this kind of light. You're repulsed by it. And a righteous man, or a man that'll do the truth, will come to the light that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. You'll find a way to get something out of this message to draw you closer to the Lord. Now listen, a man that is trying to do the right thing wants to know what the judgment is so that he can do it. That is his desire. He wants the Lord to show him, "Thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not covet, thou shalt not commit adultery." He wants to know that because he wants to please God, and he wants to follow what God says for him to do. He wants to know the judgment. A wicked man could care less. The judgment will only incite him to go do more with a greater and more voracious appetite the things that he desires, and to run even that much harder from God. That's true. You know, take a guy that was raised in a Christian home, and he makes up his mind he wants to do something wrong. He goes at it whole hog, and he does not want to be told. If he's told not to do a certain thing because that's the judgment of God, it just makes him that much more resolved to go do it. So that if you're considering the house of the wicked, the first thing you want to know is that the wicked refuse to do judgment. Now, let me tell you something then. If you're a righteous man, you've been saved by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and yet you're still messing around with evil because you don't want to do judgment, and you are refusing to do judgment in certain areas where you know God has spoken, then you're acting just like a wicked man. Really? You're acting just like a wicked man. All right, now here's the next thing. According to verse 10 in Proverbs chapter 21, the next thing, when we're considering the house of the wicked, not only do they refuse to do judgment, they also desire to do evil. Verse 10, "The soul of the wicked desireth evil. His neighbor findeth no favor in his eyes." In other words, when he wakes up in the morning, he is cooking up mischief. When he wakes up in the morning, he is looking for a way to get in trouble. That's what turns him on. That's what makes him happy. That's what his desire is. He desires to do evil. The soul of the wicked desireth evil. So much so that even his neighbor isn't safe, because the Bible says his neighbor findeth no favor in his eyes. I mean, a bad guy, a wicked man, is looking for something bad to do. And he starts out doing that when he's young. Recently had the opportunity to talk to some friends of mine, and we talked about things we did as kids that were bad. And, you know, when you look back on that, you think, what in the world could possibly possess a child to do something like that? One guy was talking about how they threw certain types of real hard clay balls at chickens and killed them when the chickens were stuck in that clay mire after a bad rain and thought that was so funny. Another fellow was talking about when he was 10 years old and his brother was 7 or 8 years old. He found an old rotten cigar and he lit that thing and made his brother smoke that thing. And then when his dad came around the corner and caught the younger brother with the cigar, the older brother said, "Well, I've been trying to tell him not to put that cigar in his mouth." And we laughed about that. But you know what that is? That older brother, 10 years old, wanted to do something bad to his brother. He wanted to do something that was evil. That's just the way it is. Finding pleasure, they find pleasure in doing the wrong thing. I remember growing up, you do too. I mean, if you reflect on your childhood memories, you will be reminded of somebody that lived in your neighborhood or went to your school or that was related to you that was bent on doing bad things and spent a great deal of his time or a great deal of her time trying to convince you to do the wrong thing. I had one. Lived in the neighborhood. I won't call his name, but he found great pleasure in introducing me to bad things. He delighted in it. And so, as we get older, these old childhood things, as we learn more judgment and all that, those things ought to leave us. We ought to look at that and say, no, 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 that's not right. God doesn't want us to do those things. We've got to stop that nonsense. But I'll tell you what, people grow up and they don't stop that nonsense. They keep right on. As a matter of fact, they keep right on until they can find a way to make money doing it. That's right. They'll try to find a way to make money introducing you to evil. All right, you say, in what respect? Oh, there's all kinds. Consider the proliferation of pornography. You know what that is? That is a guy that is not ashamed to introduce you. If, as a matter of fact, he finds pleasure in introducing you to evil so he can make a buck off of you. He finds some woman that's willing to pose without her clothes on, puts her picture in a magazine, puts it on a rack and hopes you'll buy it, or puts it out on the internet and hopes you'll pay to see it. That's evil. He likes that kind of thing. He desires to do evil, and he's hoping that he will stir up deep within inside you your desire to do evil. Let me tell you something. He's wrong for displaying that stuff, and you're wrong for looking at it. They want to display the flesh, and they want others to take the bait of being tempted by the display of the bait, to fall prey to the immorality. And the more the merrier. Why? More money for them. They don't care whether it corrupts you. Listen, the Bible says, his neighbor findeth no favor in his eyes. He could care less whether you getting involved in pornography breaks your marriage or not. He could care less. He doesn't care whether that destroys you. He could care less. He wants you hooked on it, and he wants you buying it by the largest quantity that you can afford. That's what he's interested in. Why? Because he desires to do evil. That consider the house of the wicked. He doesn't mind. Listen, take a booze company, for instance. I don't care whether they sell beer or whiskey or whatever. Anything that has to do with alcoholic content that is sold for the drinking pleasure of the consumer. Booze companies. They say, and I guess this is just to soothe their guilty conscience, they say, drink responsibly. But when they tell you to drink responsibly, they know. See, it's not a matter of not knowing the judgment. They know that alcohol-related deaths are amongst the highest each year. Third highest cause of death in the United States of America each year is alcohol-related. There are 435,000 deaths each year due to tobacco. 18.1% of all deaths caused by tobacco or complicated by tobacco. 400,000 due to poor diet and physical inactivity. That's 16.6% of all deaths. 85,000 deaths due to alcohol, representing 3.5% of all deaths. Now, let me tell you something. If I could find that statistic, it took me about 45 seconds to find it. Don't you know that the guy that is selling beer and the guy that's selling liquor and the guy that's making beer and the guy that's manufacturing liquor, don't you know that he knows that? People are all up in arms. They're saying, oh, God, we've got a war going on in Iraq and there's so many people that died now. I'm not happy about one soldier that's had to die over there or one civilian that's had to die over there. Not happy about that at all. And what have there been in the entire time that we've been there? two or 3,000 deaths, soldier deaths, for the United States of America in that entire period of time, with 140,000 troops on the ground over there. Why that represents, I've sort of lost track of the time, but that represents about 1,000 a year. 85,000 a year dying from alcohol-related death. And they say, mothers against drunk driving. They don't want to see people dying as a result of alcohol. You think that's going to stop those companies from doing that? Are you kidding me? Their desire is to do that and get as many people hooked on that stuff as they possibly can so they can make more money. Drink responsibly. They could care less whether you drink responsibly or not. They know 85,000 people are going to die because of alcohol-related death, and they don't stop for 1 second, man. They don't slow down nothing. Stop making it. Stop selling it. They can't because they desire to do evil, and so do the people who buy it. You consider the amount of AIDS-related deaths and the statistics on people that have AIDS. In the world right now, the statistic is 42 million cases of AIDS and HIV. New HIV cases, 5 million per year. Deaths per year, 3.1 million. And you know, that's a sexually transmitted disease, or it is a transmitted disease. So how are people picking it up? Mainly, there are some children born to this, by the way. How are they picking it up? It's either through sex or drug use, mainly. Okay, you say then, why don't you just maintain a pure life until you marry, and then after you marry, stay with one woman and never have sex with any other. Or if you're a woman, stay with one man and never have sex with any other. And be pure so that you don't have to have AIDS and HIV. You say, but I don't want to do that because I desire to do evil. Then you're going to suffer the consequence. A just man has a completely different idea than a wicked man about what to do concerning anything that he sees that's wrong. You know what he wants to do? He wants to do what he can do to help his neighbor, not hurt him. An evil man, his neighbor finding no favor in his eyes, they'll put you in a grave just as quick as they possibly can in order to satisfy their own pleasure, but not a righteous man. A just man will try to find everything he can do to help you. I remember some missionary friends of mine that I know up in Canada. Their back door neighbor, an older couple, was back there, and we prayed for them. He wanted me to continue to pray for them. We did. And they'd take pies, and they'd take supper, and they'd invite them over to supper and made good friends out of these folks and invited them to church, had the opportunity to lead both of them to the Lord. The husband died and left his wife a widow. The missionary did the funeral, and the widow still comes to church as they're still being nice to her. Why? Because they had a great interest in doing something especially important for the neighbor. They put down their own desires in order to help their neighbors find the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Now, what happens to these wicked people? If you're going to consider the house of the wicked desiring to do evil and refusing to do judgment, then, you know, there's two things more that we need to see. Number one is this. They remain in the congregation of the dead. Look at verse 16. The man that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead. You know what that tells me? That tells me that a man that's a wicked man is a dead man while he's walking around on two legs. He's a walking corpse. A man came up to Jesus Christ and said that he wanted to be his disciple, but he needed to first go bury his father. And Jesus said to him, let the dead bury the dead. Let the dead bury the dead. You know what that says? That says that people that walk around here without the Lord Jesus Christ are dead already. Paul said so in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. He said, ye who were dead in trespasses and sins hath he quickened. So there is no life on this earth. You may be living it up, but there's no life on this earth until you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. The Bible says, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. You may be living it up, but you're not living. You're a dead man. You remain in the congregation of the dead. Every child that's born naturally in this earth grows up, and when he starts sinning and knows he's sinning against God, his spirit is dead toward the Lord, and he is a walking corpse and will go to his grave a walking corpse if he never receives Jesus Christ as his Savior, walk around like a dead man. That's the first thing. The second thing, in other words, you think, I'm a child of God, I can do what I want to do, and then when, you know, I'll somehow go to heaven. I've seen wicked people pretend to do that. You'll never make it. Heaven is for people that are alive, not for people that are dead. And the next thing we need to see is found in verse 12, and that's this. God overthroweth the wicked for their wickedness. God overthroweth the wicked for their wickedness. So the last thing then is, when you're considering the house of the wicked, they are overthrown by God. Verse 15 says, it is joy to the just to do judgment, but destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. And that's right. When Jesus Christ comes back to this earth to deal with the wicked, he comes back in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they're punished with an everlasting destruction. Revelation chapter 14, you see him treading the winepress of the wrath of Almighty God, the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And in Revelation chapter 20, verse 15, you find whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Is that what you want? Oh, you say, I want to get drunk, I want to do booze, I want to look at pornography, I want to cheat on my spouse, I want to do all that stuff, I want to steal, I want to do all that stuff. And I don't care whether I go to hell or not. That's the attitude of a wicked man. Then all right, that's where you're going to spend your eternity. And it isn't going to be one big old drunken orgy down there. Every desire that you've ever had here is going to still be your desire, but it will never be satisfied, and you will be tormented in flame the entire time. Is that what you want? You're insane if you want that. Now, a wise man will consider that verse 11 is true. That is, when the scorner is punished, the simple is made wise. When the wise is instructed, he receiveth knowledge. You ought to have received some knowledge today that you need to get saved, and that if you are saved, you need to turn from these wicked things. Run from these things of the world. They'll kill a wicked man. A wise man will see the punishment of the wicked and say, I don't want none of that. And then he won't get it because he'll trust Jesus Christ as his Savior. That's what you ought to do. That's what you need to do. You need to stop the nonsense. Live for God.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.